Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prescribed duties for mankind. Chapter 1, the history of the life of Ajamil. Text number 61. Trishvatam kamaliptena.
Trishvatam kamaliptena.
Bahuna parirambitam.
Bahuna parirambitam.
Jagama hrishchaya vasham. Saiva vimohitaha.
Saiva vimohitaha.
Trishvatam karma liptena.
Trishvatam liptena.
Bahuna parirambitam.
Bahuna parirambitam.
Jagamahishchaya vasam.
Jagamahishchaya vasam.
Saha saiva vimohitaha.
Saiva vimohitaha.
By singing.
By singing.
Tam.
Tam.
Her.
Her.
The prostitute.
The prostitute.
Kamaliptena.
Kamaliptena.
Decorated with turmeric.
Decorated with turmeric.
To incite lusty desires.
To incite lusty desires.
Bahuna.
Bahuna.
With the arm.
With the arm.
Parirambitam.
Parirambitam.
Embraced.
Embraced.
Jagama.
Jagama.
Went.
Went.
Hrishaya.
Hrishaya.
Of lusty desires.
Of lusty desires.
Within the heart.
In the heart.
Prasam.
Prasam.
Under the control.
Under the control.
Sahasa.
Sahasa.
Suddenly.
Suddenly.
Eva.
Eva.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Vimohitaha.
Vimohitaha.
Being illusion.
Being illusion.
The sudra, his arm decorated with turmeric powder, was embracing the prostitute. When Ajamil saw her, the dormant lusty desires in his heart awakened, and in illusion he fell under their control. Purport, it is said that if one's body is smeared with turmeric, it attracts the lusty desires of the opposite sex. The word karma liptena indicates that the sudra was decorated with turmeric smeared on his body. Text 62. Stambayan atmanatmanam. Yavat sattvam yata shrutam nasasaka samadhatum manomadanavepitam. As far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastras, not even to see a woman. With the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires, but because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his mind. Purport, unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, Controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. Thus, after seeing a man embracing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex life, even a fully qualified brahmana, as described above, could not control his lusty desires and restrain himself from pursuing them. Because of the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Muntale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dilate Svarapadantikam Mukam Kaloti Vachalam Pangulam Gayate Girim Yatripa Kamam Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. This is a pivotal point in the story of Ajamil. He was brought up in as a Brahmana in Brahminical culture, and but despite that training and education, he was unable to withstand the pushings of the mind and the senses. So it mentions here, Stambayan, trying to control, Atmana, by the intelligence, Atmanam, the mind, Yavat Sattvam, as far as possible for him, Yata Shrutam, by remembering what he has heard. But he wasn't successful, so interesting. The Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. Ooh, okay. That's as much as I can wear that. Otherwise I'll be exploding all throughout the rest of the class. I went to bed with prickly eyes last night, and that was just, when I do the puja, I'm handling flowers, and then if I touch my face without having washed my hands, then I get a reaction to the magnolias, actually, and roses. So just in case you're worrying whether I've got COVID or not, I'm sneezing. It's probably not. It's a hay fever, or the reaction to the flowers, which is... So... Thus, after seeing a man embracing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex life. Oh, this reminds me. When it rained, not yesterday, it was the day before, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, Sunday. I was walking, I went for a Japa walk, and I was walking in the park, and there was this couple sitting on the park bench. And practically doing everything required for sex life. and they didn't see me. They didn't see me coming. But there was a strong wind. You know, there was a strong wind. It was just before that. There was a shower of, you know, there was showers of passing through. And so the wind blew my hat off. So I jumped, and then they saw me and they stopped. But it's an example of, you know, this is some time ago in the yuga or at a time when these things were perhaps not so common. But these days, it's a common sight to see people either dressed or behaving in such a way so that they fulfill these requirements, right? Doing everything required for sex life. So it's disturbing. It's disturbing to see these things. Although for me that wasn't so disturbing, it was just odd. I was saying, what are you doing, you guys? And so the importance of this culture of restraint and the culture of knowledge, Prabhupada mentions here, knowledge, patience, right? And this is Brahminical culture, right? Samo, Damas, Tapa, Sochan. Samo means being equipoised. Thanks. I haven't quite got to that stage, but thank you. Ooh. Dhamma means control, sense control. Samo, Dhammas, Tapa, austerity, which is again controlling the senses. Controlling the mind and the senses. Samo, Dhammas, Tapa. So, Cham. And integral to this is cleanliness. Cleanliness externally, but also cleanliness internally. So that what we're thinking, what we're meditating on, what we're contemplating, what we're desiring, this is also part of cleanliness. Samal dhamma tapaso chantir, simplicity, leading an uncomplicated life. Chantir eva arjavan, yes, simplicity. Chanti was tolerance, being tolerant. Arjavan, simplicity. Jnana, the cultivation of knowledge. Vidyana, and knowing how to apply that knowledge. Right? How to apply the knowledge. Which it looks like that's what Ajamil lacked. Right? He had the knowledge, but he wasn't able to apply it. Because it mentions here, Atmana, Atmanam, Yavat Satvam, Yata Shrutam, by remembering the instructions. That's not enough. Just having good advice or good instructions is not enough. One has to know how to apply them, right? How to actively engage. So, and here, proper bodily, mental and intellectual behaviour, which is the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, and also the intelligence, needs to be fine-tuned, honed, in order to withstand the the distractions and the pushings, Bhajo-vegam, Manasakrodha-vegam, Jiva-vegam, Udara-pasta-vegam, Etan-vegam, Yo-vishahetati-rasavam, Abhimam, Pitivim-sasisyak, mentioned by Rupa Goswami. So Vajra-vegam, the urge to speak and to talk about all sorts of things. But Vajra-vegam, Manasakrodha-vegam, the pushing of the mind. The mind and its enemies. Right, there are six enemies of the mind. Here is mentioned Krodha only, right, but there's lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy. What's the other one?
Greed.
I mentioned greed. Pride. Yes, pride. I'm an advanced devotee. Until you're not. Yeah, pride. That's it. I'm a brahmana. I'm a senior devotee. You have to watch out. These things. Impelled by karma, especially desire, the mind. And Krodha. Krodha especially because we have desires, and when they're not fulfilled, we then become frustrated. And then with frustration comes anger. And you know, from anger, Krishna mentions bewilderment, loss of memory. And we fall into the bodily concept of life from anger. You know, we can restrain desire and greed even. Greed is when we enjoy something but we want more. So that's also, sense gratification is dangerous. My Bhakti Shastri class on Saturday, the exercise was, we divided up into four groups, and the first group had to write up a list of the short-term benefits of sense gratification. And the long-term benefits of sense gratification is the second group. And then the third group was the disadvantages, the short-term disadvantages of sense gratification. And the fourth group was to make up a list of the long-term disadvantages of sense gratification. So that was an interesting discussion. And then we talked about what's our attitude towards sense gratification, because we must act, right? We must act. Sense gratification is a requirement. I don't know if you've noticed. But the pushing of the senses, and the senses need engagement, right? And it's why we have a Varnashram system, is to regulate Sensual activity, sensual behavior can't be stopped. You know, the workings of the knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses can't be stopped. The mind, you can't stop the working of the mind. So it's not a matter of stopping, but it's a matter of using it, using the mind and the senses positively. Right? If you let children up to their own devices, what will they do? What happens if we let children up to their own devices? Don't know. Perhaps I should ask your mum. What happens if you leave children up to their own devices? Huh? They can get into trouble. Don't light a fire. Light a fire or play under the kitchen sink. You know, do the things that you're told not to do, basically. But, you know, if we give children, and look, adult, anybody, positive engagement for the mind and the senses, then that action can be productive. That activity can be productive. And really, that's the process, if you like, of sadhana bhakti. And Vairocha Goswami gives us, you know, 64 items of devotional service. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. So that we get a list of, here's all the things that you can do. It's practically unlimited what we can do to positively engage the mind and the senses. But, you know, so long as we've got, and we see it here, graphically in action, so long as we've got a material body, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina, so long as you've got a material body, then there will be an inclination towards material activities without purification, right? Without getting a higher taste. Rasavajamrasopyasya paramdrishtva nivartate. Paramdrishtva means a higher taste. So, the tendency to act is irrepressible, but the ability to engage that action in positive activities is the panacea or the cure, if you like. And so, you know, we in the Varnashram system, we encourage for most people marriage, because the attraction, and we see it here, the attraction between a man and a woman is very strong. And in order to engage that positively, so that it's for the benefit of all, we have the institution of marriage. And even Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita sex according to religious principles, that I am, right? So, activities that are, where we're engaged in service to Krishna rather than service to the mind and the senses is the proper engagement for the living entity. And that's purifying and also liberating. So one has to cultivate this knowledge, and this is mentioned with the study of the Vedas, effectively. Here, strong. If we're to be strong in knowledge, then one has to regularly recite Vedic literature, right? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is our four main. So the regular recitation of Vedic literature, the regular reading, regular attendance in class. Also, performing one's puja or one's bhajan for the Vaishnavas. What's our daily bhajan? Yes. Before that. Yes. What's that prayer called? It's got 8 verses as a hint. Yes. Guruvashtakam. Go to the top of the class. Guruvashtakam. Right? And in reciting the Guruvashtakam, what are we meditating on? What are we meditating on when we're reciting the Guruvashtakam? How many here of you recite the Guruvashtakam regularly? On a daily basis? Yeah, okay, good. So what are you doing? What are we doing when we recite the Guruvashtakam? What are we doing? Yes. And what else? That's true. Vande Guru Si Charanaravindam. Yep, that's meditating on the lotus feet of the spiritual master. What else? Because that's repeated like about 8 times. But what else?
We're also meditating on the process of devotional service.
Yes, the process of devotional service. What else? Madhu.
It's a meditation in the different activities, how a spiritual master is teaching us.
Yes. Yes, the different activities, the behavior of a devotee, right? Which should be our behavior, right? Samsara dava nalalida loka. The spiritual master is pouring benedictions on the residents of the material world by giving instructions, just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish the blaze. So the spiritual master gives instructions to his disciples, or to anybody really, to extinguish the fire of conditional life. And you know, lust, this is what's consuming our Jamil, right? He's been consumed by lust. And that, lust is likened to a fire in the 3rd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? So we're all burning up in the fire of material existence because of our desire to enjoy. No? So the spiritual master gives instructions. So all of these, the spiritual master engages in Sankirtan. Is that right? Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita. Singing and dancing. Vaditramaja Manaso Rasena. He's relishing the mellows of bhakti. Relishing the mellows of bhakti. Do you relish the mellows of bhakti?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. When you chant Hare Krishna, do you feel pleasure? Yeah? Here's a simple one. Who enjoys breakfast? Yeah, there's relishing the mellows of bhakti, prasad. So we need to be, this is this cultivation of knowledge and meditation on all of these qualities of a devotee, so that we develop them also. This is the point, you know, that we're developing this param drishtva, this higher taste, and we're becoming fixed in knowledge, so that when the pushing of the mind and the senses presents itself, we're able to, by the cultivation of knowledge and by the cultivation of bodily, mental and intellectual strength, to withstand the pushings of the material energy, then when material desires present themselves by dint of that fixed up, if you like, or purified, anatta nivritti, removing these unwanted desires, and so when they arise, either they've gone, or if they arise, then it's just like, you know, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, like a stream that trickles into the ocean, or even a river that runs into the ocean, is just absorbed by the ocean. And that's because the devotee is swimming in the ocean of bhakti, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, swimming in the ocean of devotional service, and so he's not disturbed by the flow of desires. This is the idea. So good sadhana, good practice. So good bhajan. Yeah, I mentioned this before. When you meet your friends, you usually say, "G'day, how's it going?" Right? But a devotee says, "How's your bhajan?" Right? Specifically, "How's your bhajan?" Because, you know, the material worlds are always up and down, right? But it's easily withstandable. It's easily tolerated by a devotee who's making advancement, who's relishing their sadhana. And so, what is it? Pramana. Following scriptural recommendations, which is what Ajahnil was on the right track, right? He's remembering what he'd heard. But he wasn't strong enough. What's the other one? Theistic conduct. So, abhyacharya. Learning the Vedas, hearing from the Vedas, but then being able to put it into practice, practical application of that learning, and then constant effort, requires constant effort. It's not, you know, something that you did yesterday and don't have to do today. Right? It requires constant effort. The process of bhakti requires daily practice, daily effort. And then by, you know, absorption and immersion in one's bhajan. That's why I say we should be meditating on the meanings. Otherwise we could be just parroting this stuff, right? The prayers of the Guru Vashtakam or the Guru Vandana. And you know, if we don't know what it is that we're saying, we're just like a bunch of parrots, right? Even chanting Hare Krishna like a parrot. You know what Prabhupada mentions, you know, what happens when you grab the bird by the neck? Just squawks, right? So, and that's again, that's this, unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, proper bodily, mental and intellectual behavior, and that's our sadhana, our bhajan, and you know, recitation of recommended austerity of speech is to regularly recite the Vedic literature. Right. Many things. Austerity of the body is brahmacharya, right? Cleanliness, rising early, engaging the mind and the senses in devotional practices. Because in any, you know, in this day and age, I don't have to tell you, like, you know, wherever we go, practically speaking, there's a distraction of one sort or another, right? I don't know if you've noticed, but have you seen these things? Huh? They're designed to distract. They're designed to distract you from Krishna. Right? It's a unique device created to take money out of your bank account. That's really what it's for. It's presented as a great assist, right? But most of us have discovered it's not at all a great assist. It's the biggest distraction that you could ever put in your pocket. Although you can use it, right? I have the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the whole of the Veda base in my pocket. But what do? I go and look at Facebook. Although I have to admit, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I haven't gone anywhere, I just don't participate. And really, you know, as I mentioned the other day, sometimes Facebook calls me by email. Hey, Aniruddha, Prabhu, there's stuff going on over here. Why don't you have a look? We're missing you, which means we're not taking dollars out of your pocket. Please come over. Come over and see us. Come over and see your friends. I go over and see my friends and I think, what's this craziness going on here? I'm out of here. So cultivation of knowledge, cultivation of a life less distracted, right? Really, that's what we should be doing, ideally. Whilst there are many benefits, there's also, you know, many dangers, actually. And why, you know, we need to develop strongly, because, you know, in one sense, you know, the distraction is in our pocket. It's not what men and women are doing outside. Although that's a distraction too, but very often the distraction, we're carrying the distraction with us. And we pay so much attention to it that our children want to have one too, but just because of our behaviour. Oh my God, I have a mobile phone. You've got one. Huh? Is that right, Abhay? Huh? Have you got one? You got your mum's?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that?
I just use it for, like, you know, whatever, just to shake.
Good boy. Keep it up. Yes. So, Ajahnil Prabhupada says here was a fully qualified Brahmana, and that wasn't good enough. Right? That wasn't good enough. could not control his lusty desires. And you know, we're all living in an environment where materialistic life is practically everywhere, isn't it? Realistically, wherever you go, whether you're in India or whether you're in Australia or wherever you are, it's all around us. Except in the temple. Except in the temple. You know, it's amazing. We've been doing a lot of weddings. You know, after COVID, everybody who couldn't get married wants to get married. So Chidrup has just been doing every weekend pretty much a wedding, a wedding, a wedding, a wedding. So as a consequence, we get a lot of people who haven't visited the temple before. Right? They haven't visited the temple. And what do they say? You know what they say? What do you think they say?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. They say, wow, this is such a peaceful place. Because they don't know all that goes on to create the atmosphere. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But, you see, we're engaged in devotional service and we go through the challenges. But it's not for our personal sense gratification, or it shouldn't be. Right? The service that we do for Krishna and the aspiration, the expectation, the completion, the successful completion of our service is done really for Krishna's pleasure, or really that's what it should be done for. Right? We're not performing our devotional service so that people will recognize us, so that we can become prominent, a prominent devotee. Devotee's already prominent. We'll all be prominent if we perform devotional service. So we shouldn't worry about, am I being recognized as the spiritually advanced person that I am? We should be worrying about these things. We should just be doing things for Krishna's pleasure. Then automatically all of us will become prominent. A devotee automatically becomes prominent. Why? Because their sense control, automatic, and this is, you know, a group of people, or a group of devotees, a group of individuals that work together to serve Krishna, create a very peaceful and satisfied community of transcendentalists. And so automatically they all become famous because of that cooperation and that common sense of purpose. Right? We have a common sense of purpose. Our common sense of purpose is to save people from all of this distraction. Right? We're not against sex, per se. Right? Unless you're a sannyasi or a brahmachari, you know, you're in trouble. Lord Chaitanya, look what Lord Chaitanya did to Chota Haridas. But if these householder disciples were having family and children, he encouraged it and celebrated the birth of the children. Right? So, you know, a lot of what we do, practically everything that we do, is dependent on intent, right? The purpose for which we're doing something, and the context. The context determines a lot of what we're doing, why we do it, the intent. So we are creating a community of like-minded devotees who are free from material motivation. It's called Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadyanavritam. It's pure devotees, right? And a pure devotee is not worried about themselves so much, because they know, if I serve Krishna, what happens? What happens when you serve Krishna? What happens when you serve Krishna, Adi?
Purified.
Yeah, you get purified. What else?
He's pleased.
What happens when you serve Krishna?
He says Krishna is pleased.
Krishna's pleased, yes. And what happens to you?
Become happy.
Become happy, yes, why not? But, you know, you get looked after. At least that's my experience. Anybody around here hungry? Missing out on meals? No. In COVID, I noticed at least half of my friends put on about 5 to 10 kilograms. I lost a few. Yeah, you get looked after. Especially when you're living in such a community of devotees where everybody is supportive and encouraging and there's plenty to do. And that those activities are purifying. They're engaging, here what does Prabhupada say? Bodily, mental and intellectual behaviour. There's a fully absorbing engagement in bhakti. How many of you are studying bhakti shastri? Yeah. Are you busy? Yeah, too much. Yeah. You've got children. I know, towards the end of the previous term, I know that my bhakti shastri students could hardly wait for school to get started again. Because they're sick of having the kids at home and having to do their homework. Not easy. But plenty of engagement, plenty of service to perform, plenty of intellectual and mental stimulation for a devotee. It's really quite, I don't know, full on, you may have noticed. It's full on. In fact, we could probably relax a little bit. Children probably wouldn't mind. Not too much, of course. We shouldn't relax too much, but we also have to be, you know. There's such a thing as utsahamayi, which is called puffed up with enthusiasm. Utsahamayi, where we go too hard. So it's getting a balance. Getting the balance. That takes time and a bit of experience. But it's part of our culture, actually. This, and why Srila Prabhupada put so much time into translating the Bhagavata, translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita, translating Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translating the Bhagavad Gita, so that we would have this emotional and intellectual engagement and be absorbed in that. So we've got the paramadrishtva, the higher taste, and especially chanting. The chanting is essential because the chanting gives us the purification of consciousness to then be able to deeply absorb the philosophy that we read and understand how to apply it practically in our daily life, so that when we get the distractions of the mobile phones and, you know, all of the thing that social media and modern life throws at us, we're able to distinguish between that which is favourable for our bhakti and that which has to be avoided. Right? It's accepting that which is favourable and rejecting that which is unfavourable. An essential intellectual activity required for a devotee. So that when we're challenged, like Ajahn was, instead of failing, we have to rise to the occasion. So instead of falling or pursuing material desires, we're able to control them or ignore them. You know, because the best way, you know, Prabhupada mentions not sure where I've read this story, but it's worth, you know, if you're being pestered by, if you're being bothered by material desires, what's the best thing to do? Anybody got an idea? What do you do? I'm hungry.
Basically, I was thinking about in Prabhupada's term where he said the proper engagement.
So, yeah.
And the power of being protected in a nice, good association of devotees.
Yes.
Preserves you from.
Yep. But what happens if you've been bothered doing that and you're bothered by material inclinations into the mind?
Chant
Hare Krishna, yes. That's highly recommended. Yeah. Ignore it. Ignore it. If you're absorbing yourself deeply in all of these other activities and there's a hey Mom, what about this? Just ignore it. It's in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Basically, we ignore it. And, you know, there's the example. You know, what happens when somebody comes and knocks on your door and you don't go and answer the door? What usually happens? They go away. Huh? They go away. But we have to have developed our intellectual and emotional, even sensual strength. This is why Prabhupada wanted the devotees to eat prasadam, eat nicely, so that you've got also emotional and physical sensual strength to withstand the pushings. Bacho vega, manasakroda vega, jiva, the urge to eat. Yes, we have the urge to eat. How do we engage it? By taking prasadam. You can tell I'm coming to the end of the class when I start talking about prasadam. Why do we take prasadam? Why do we take prasadam?
To survive.
Huh?
To survive,
yes. Also to satisfy that sensual need, to engage the senses. But we do it in a way that purifies, not unless we eat too much. Atyahara. Overeating, that's a danger for a devotee. So, yes, we want to remain under Krishna's protection. And avoid, you know, these materially motivated desires. For most of us, that's fairly easy. What becomes difficult is the subtle, some of the more subtle things. Profit, distinction, and adoration. These are also subtle desires that we need to watch out for. But again, we do that through this cultivation of learning, knowledge, and especially knowledge of the practice of bhakti, knowledge how to chant Hare Krishna properly so that the heart's becoming cleansed, the engagement in our bhajan so that we're always thinking of the spiritual master, right? What is it? Chayam stuvam syasya trisandhyam. Right? Vande guru si charanaravindam. At least three times a day. Three times a day I remember my spiritual master. What's that referring to? Yasas trisandhyam. What do we do at the tree sandhya? Chant Gayatri mantra. chant the mantras given by the guru. And so then automatically, who are we remembering? Spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya. Krishna and the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. Interesting, isn't it? When we come to know Krishna, we discover that actually it's not Krishna. It's Krishna and Radharani and then all of the other devotees. It's quite interesting. We think it's just me and Krishna. Mainly me. Then we discover, hang on a second, it's Krishna and then there's everybody else. And exploring those relationships. This is why bhakti is so engaging and so absorbing, is because it's so variegated. It's so engaging in it, all of the facets of devotional service, devotional practice. And we see that with here, the story of Ajahnil. So we can learn from Ajahnil's example and that, you know, one really has to become deeply absorbed, because even Ajahnil was qualified, but he wasn't able to withstand. So I guess, you know, one of the takeaways from this story is that you can also fail at doing this, right? But there's still benefit. There is no loss, right? And so even if we do fail, just pick yourself up and go back at it. Don't let a stumble or two stop you. And we see the benefits. The benefits were that at the time of death, Ajahnil was able to remember the Lord. And so the Vishnu Dutas came to save him. And he got a second chance. Well, we have that book, Second Chance. It's about this. It's probably a story. We've got the chance now. Let's take advantage of it. Don't waste it. And see if we can do better than Ajahnil. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Oh, why? Yeah, it's good to see you, by the way.
You mentioned that you should not worry if other devotees think you are a great devotee.
What's that?
Like you had mentioned that you shouldn't think that other people are sincere or advanced. Like, you shouldn't worry about how they think you are good of you.
Yeah.
So is that called pride?
Is it called pride? Can be. Can be a symptom of pride, thinking that you're a big, big, big guru or devotee and that people should be doing what you tell them to do. Yep. Yes. Substantially, it is. Because, you know, na janam na janam na sundarim. Right? This is our prayer. No wealth, no followers. No beautiful women, no. That's, what is it? Jamani Jamanishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Oitiki Dwayi. Please give me, this is Lord Chaitanya's prayer, please give me Bhakti Oitiki Dwayi to you, right? Please give me, and what does Oitiki mean? What is Hetu mean in Sanskrit? What does it mean? Hetu. What does it
cause.
Mean? Cause. And ahoitiki or ahetu means without cause. Let my devotion be spontaneous, because that's actually the quality of bhakti, is spontaneous. Because it's our natural position. Right? To serve Krishna is who we are, actually. But if we're motivated to get money or to get, you know, what happens? What do the Hare Krishnas like to get? They like to see their name in the book points. Right? Who's number one book distributor? It's a competition between Dwija, I'll tell you who it is. It's Dwija Pitambara and Mahalakshmi. Right? Who's going to be... And you know, we do this for a purpose. We do... It's to encourage competition. Right? But actually, you know, the goal of life is not to get the most book points. This is just a... It's a bit of a... We should treat it as a... You know, it really is a bit of a game. It's not... It's to encourage service to Krishna. So... You know, if we do get, you know, we collect the most amount of money or we collect, distribute the most number of books, that doesn't mean necessarily that we're the most advanced. It could mean that you're just a very good salesperson. Right? But we use it in Krishna service, so it's fine. It's so, yeah, we've got to be careful about ensuring that our motivations for doing our service are such that it's meant for the pleasure of Krishna or it's meant for the pleasure of Krishna's devotees. And you can be sure that Srila Prabhupada's very pleased, you know, when the devotees sell 5,000 book points. You know, that's the equivalent of 2,500 Bhagavad Gita's. It's a lot of books going out.
In a day?
Huh? In a day? In a day? Yeah. When you go out, maybe that's what we'll get. When we get the crack troops out of book distribution, then that's what we'll be doing. But it's not easy. Who's here done book distribution? Was it easy? It's amazing, isn't it? When you go out on book distribution, you can have the worst day of your life, right? Or on some days it's like you just tell people and they come over, they take a book, give you $50, you know, and it's like, you're the most empowered, you're the Shakti of Asia Avatara book distribution. Then the next day you go out and it's like you're the most miserable dog on the planet. So this is where, you know, Sankirtan is very good for making spiritual advancement. Because it teaches you how you're not the doer, Krishna's in control. It's very, very humbling. But yes, ahoitiki, this is our, and so we shouldn't be, and a book distribution is very tricky because everything's going, and then you get puffed up and think, I'm a wonderful book distributor, I got the best score, I can hardly wait, they'll say, Aniruddha, 5 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, quadzillion book points, yay, Aniruddha. Then the next day you go out and everybody says, go and get a job. or worse. Worse. You know, I've gone on book distribution and some of the things that people have said to me, you know, it's like, woohoo! Go to Geelong. It used to be go to Geelong and you'd see these little old ladies. You think, oh, she's a sweet old lady. They try to give her a book and the foul cursing that comes out of her mouth, you know, it's like, whoa! She's a little old witch. Of course, we look beyond all of the externals and we see the spirit soul. But the spirit soul with a covering of a... with an interesting bodily covering. So, is that okay, Abai? Yes, we because, and here's what happens, I'll tell you what happens. When we are seeking profit, distinction and adoration in our devotional service, then we start to compete with others. And instead of being a society where we work cooperatively, then there becomes a competition, and we undermine with that competition cooperation. What's that?
It's like a rule is supposed to work together.
Yeah. Yes, it becomes. Then we just become like the materialists. We don't want to do that. You have a question?
You said that we should like, once we like our phones, one should play, because you said they distract us. Someone
shouldn't
use
those points. I didn't say you shouldn't use it. I said you have to be very careful using it. Right?
So when you're careful, so what should you do?
What should you do with the phone? Well, turn it off in the Bhagavatam class. Highly recommend it. What should you do with a mobile phone? I recommend using it for telephone calls. I find that that's highly useful. And practically everything else is useless. But, you know, realistically, responding to emails on your phone? No. A keyboard. Huh? Maybe scanning for things to do and flicking things off, getting rid of stuff. But email, they're not very good for doing email, really, realistically. You know, I get a lot of emails and I just click, 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 and then press delete. Gone. But with this, you've got to go, thump, 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 yeah. Yeah. Now, what else do we, browsing the internet? If you're looking for, you know, something that you need, you're out driving around or whatever, very, very handy. But, you know, research? No. Where are you going to store the bits of information? Yeah. Facebook? Yeah, no. Right? Have you heard of Yeah, No? It's Australian. You know, when you think about it, mobile phone is not a lot of... Oh, I tell you what, this is what... I've got rid of all of my other cameras. So one thing that has been put into a mobile phone that I highly recommend is a phone that's got good cameras. Because now I can take pictures of almost anything and boom, I can share it. Because, you know, a picture taken and not shared, you might as well have not taken a picture, right? So, you know, I had big cameras, long lenses, and could take lots of pictures, but then it takes hours to sort through all of those and put them on your computer, and then after 24 hours, you finally get your picture up. This is the lament of most photographers, professional photographers. In the meantime, you know, they've lugged around all of their camera gear, taken pictures, and in the meantime, their wife has already got as good a picture up on Facebook, and all of her friends are saying, oh, that's a fantastic picture. And yours is still stuck in your fancy camera. Huh? So that's one good thing, taking pictures. But that's about it, I think. Anybody else? You can think of a good use of a mobile phone?
So what apps should we
have? What apps? DB, as few as possible.
That should be a special or material apps.
What's that?
Like, should we have like Vedas and all of them?
Yeah, why like, not? Yeah, that's good. You know, one good thing is you can have the Vedas, so you know, if you tuck on in a somewhere you can read Prabhupada's books.
Should we have like
If you must, yeah. Yeah, I don't use Instagram, I use Facebook sparingly. Yeah. Any other comments or questions? We can have a chat about mobile phone apps later. One of my most used apps is the an app that tells me when the sun is, when sunrise, when noon is, solar noon, and when sunset is. That's one of my most used apps. So that's good. So you know when you have to say your Gayatri. Anybody else? Comment? Question? Madhu Manjari.
I was thinking a little bit about the point that you said, ignore it when the desires, material desires come.
Yeah.
And as a better strategy, ignore them. What about if we are not strong enough to ignore them?
If we what?
We are not strong enough
to ignore them.
And it's
I think that's why we've got the story of Ajahn Mule.
Yeah. I was asking that, for example, what would be something that can help him in his case,
well,
for example?
My experience is that if you have a strong bhajan, then what surfaces in the mind is the Gurvashtikam, right? The Goswami Ashtakam, if you're chanting it regularly. Or if you're chanting the Bhagavad Gita, the verses of the chapter that you chanted that day. And so that tends to crowd out the other distractions. Right? Why hearing and chanting is so important? Because Vishnu Smaranam, comes from repeated Shravanam Kirtanam. Right? And so if our bhajan, if we have a bhajan of say a few hours in the morning or sometime in the day, and you know why Prabhupada had morning program, evening program, then what happens is, even if there is the emergence of some material inclination, if it's really serious, then usually, you know, what happens? We'll engage it, but in such a way so that it's purifying. But if it's just a minor, you know, disturbance, we'll just be able to ignore it because of all of the other remembrance of Krishna. Is that right?
Benefit of creating nice cooperative environment and good association of devotees and community.
Yes, yes.
So I was trying to relate those points in the sense that yes, we need to endeavor, and as a practicing devotees, perhaps we are not strong enough yet, but yeah, we can have that support system,
yes,
from a good Vaishnava association. Mm,
that's right.
When we have those kind of small deviations in the beginning.
Yes, and that's what we want. Yeah, that's what we want in ISKCON Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that's what we want in ISKCON broadly. Right? And we're fortunate, I think, you're all aware that in our community there's a lot of support and a lot of encouragement and a lot of engagement. Right? And it's supportive, generally supportive, it's primarily supportive. And
in the case of Jamila, for example, it would be different for him if he would trust or share or his mind with somebody who
would. Yes, yes, a very good point. Yeah. He is by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really good point.
And I think, you know, we need to meditate on this, because if we see one of the devotees struggling with these anattas, which we will do, right? It's historically demonstrated that we'll see devotees will struggle with the gross and also with the subtle. If you look at the history of ISKCON, we've seen it. It's happened to us. Some of us have lived through periods where it's been a major problem in ISKCON, where the leaders of our community fell down because of struggling with some of these anattas. Right? We've seen it. And after analysing these situations, we identified in many cases that they were isolated from the, you know, being so advanced, right? But not actually, but being by elevated by everybody else, they became victimized by their own isolation, even though in the community of devotees. Interesting, right? You can be in the community of devotees yet isolated from them. When you're pretending that you're somebody that you're not, realistically, good point. Yeah, and that's the advantage of having the, why we should associate with the devotees, is because then we get an opportunity, if we have some, you know, difficulties or some challenges or some nagging material desires, your friends can say, cut it out, it's insignificant, forget about it, right? Put you in perspective. Who do you think you are, you little shrimp? They'll cut you down in size. This is one of the advantages of the association of the devotees, is that they'll say, cut it out, will you? Who do you think you are? When our philosophy is, you know, we're anu. Not vibhu. We like to think of ourselves as vibhu. And actually, we're just little. So our friends will remind us, hey, Mahaprabhu, I think you're going a bit far here, take it easy. You know, when I get worked up, especially in management, I don't know if you've noticed, but I get worked up about stuff and I push like anything to see things are done, you know, well, I like to see things done perfectly. And if people don't do it perfectly, I can get pretty hot under the collar. So my friends say, look, will you just cut it out? Cool them. So I have to go, you know, take a cold shower. Of course, if you know me, that doesn't usually work. I'll be back at it again next week. But of course, Prabhupada also wanted us to have high standards, by the way. It's very interesting. When Prabhupada was on his deathbed, effectively, in Vrindavan, what was one of his main worries? Do you know what one of Prabhupada's main worries was? Well, a couple, actually, but one in particular, specific. What's that?
About Varnashram Dharma.
No, people say that, but you know, if you look at Prabhupada's teachings, it wasn't. So there's places where Prabhupada says Varnashram is not important. Right. But no. Two things. Well, one is, will ISKCON continue? Will it be successful? This was his worry. But the, one of the specific was the ringing of the bell in Vrindavan at the right time, for the right number of times. Right? The ringing of the bell. One of the reasons why the ringing of the bell in Vrindavan is now at the right time, the right number of times, is because Prabhupada put so much emphasis on it at that time, because he was lying in his bed and he would hear it and he would check, why aren't they ringing the bell? Why aren't they ringing the bell? Right? And I'm thankful for that. I remember one year You probably heard me tell this story before, but one year, Achintya Rinpoche and I went to Vrindavan for the VIHE, 1989. And when we got there, our watches had stopped. Right? And you had to, you know, you had a sadhana chart, you had to get the Mangalarti, and you tick off all of the attendance at all of the program, right? Because you got a score for good sadhana. See, I remember waking up, you know, hearing the bell at 1 o'clock. Oh, 1 o'clock. And then hearing the bell at 2 o'clock. And thinking, oh, only two more hours. And then 3 o'clock. And 4 o'clock. Okay, time to get up, take a bath, go to Mangalarti. Right? So we really, that was the only way we could tell the time, because our watches had stopped. And then what happened was, when we left Vrindavan, I remembered, oh, I left my watch in my case. I pulled in my briefcase, so I pulled my watch out, and have a guess what happened? The watch had started, and it was on the right time. And then Achintya Rinpoche went, she found her watch, and her watch had started, and it was also on the right time. So, timeless, time is different in Vrindavan. Okay, let's finish. Mantravshi Man Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai.